Do you work overtime, but no one ever gives you time and a half? I invite you to listen up. I'm David Brancaccio. It is not a done deal yet, but the Biden administration is pushing to make many more people eligible for special overtime pay if they work long days or long weeks. The idea is to require companies to pay overtime for most people who earn less than $55,000 a year. The threshold's been $35,600 a year. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
The types of workers who'd become eligible for overtime are mostly low to middle income workers, often in supervisory roles, says Peter Orazim, an economics professor at Iowa State University.
That usually ends up being, say, lower level supervisors in manufacturing, but also fast food or hospitality industries writ broad.
Orazim says those are exactly the same people who've been working long hours during the pandemic. One, because they've had to cover for the open positions employers haven't filled. And two, because many of those salaried workers currently aren't eligible for overtime.
And so there's an incentive for firms to perhaps overuse their salaried employees because it's less expensive.
If more workers qualified for overtime, some employers might reduce worker hours.
That also could mean that new additional workers are hired to make up those hours, so we might see an increase in employment.
That's Alex Colvin, dean of Cornell's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. He says businesses might also raise base salaries above the proposed threshold of $55,000 a year.
Then I keep paying them a salary. I don't have to worry about overtime. I'll just pay them the flat salary.
Either way, Colvin says businesses would have to pay more for labor. Several business groups say the proposed rule would increase costs for businesses at a time when they're still grappling with inflation and workers are hard to find. But Kate Bond, research director with the Urban Institute, says the rule could help smaller companies compete for workers.
If they are able to offer similar job quality because public policy mandates that, they may find they have an easier time recruiting workers.
Bond says smaller employers tend to have a harder time raising wages to attract good candidates. But if everyone has to pay people more, that can level the playing field.
And so it makes it easier for them potentially to hire if they know that all their competitors have to follow the same rules that they do.
In other words, having to pay out more overtime can help an employer fill positions they needed to fill anyway. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
It's become a daily occurrence in the month that ends today, a fresh piece of data showing China's economy is in deeper trouble. Today, its factory activity down for five straight months in the world's second largest economy. Separately, one of China's biggest property developers announced record losses, one piece of a major crisis in that sector there. Here's Nick Marsh, Asia business correspondent with our newsroom partners, the BBC.
Another month, another set of worrying figures in China. This time round, the numbers were fractionally better than expected, but ultimately they still show that demand for Chinese goods from abroad is poor. And for an economy that relies on exports, that's not good news. But there are deeper problems still. Since lifting tough zero COVID restrictions at the end of last year, China's seen record low economic growth, record youth unemployment, and falling prices. Worse still, the country's housing market, which used to be worth a third of China's entire wealth, has collapsed. It's made households poorer, and the post-pandemic spending boom, seen in most of the rest of the world, hasn't materialized. China's president, Xi Jinping, recently praised his economy's great resilience, and he's reluctant to grow it with reckless spending measures. But some observers are worried that without reforms to the country's highly centralized economy, China's recovery will be long and painful.
That was Nick Marsh with our editorial partner, the BBC. The Venerable Consumer Price Index is one guide to inflation. The very tapped-in team at the Federal Reserve also likes to watch a government number called the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. Many investment decisions appear to be on pause this morning until the August number comes out shortly. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here with more. Nancy, what does this PCE thing measure?
It looks at prices consumers are paying for goods and services, but the PCE also covers money spent on behalf of consumers. So If you go to the doctor's office, it includes your copay. Plus, if you have insurance, what your insurance company or Medicare or Medicaid pays. Also, the PCE can change as people substitute away from some goods and services toward others. So if, say, beef gets really expensive, people might start buying chicken instead.
All right, versus the other thing, the Consumer Price Index, which uses what?
The CPI measures the price of a fixed basket of goods and services. That basket is updated every year, David, but just not often enough to account for those substitutions I talked about. So the CPI tends to show more inflation than the PCE.
When did the Fed switch its allegiance over to PCE?
The CPI was the Fed's favorite before the year 2000. It switched over to the PCE because it's just a more comprehensive measure of inflation. It includes that substitution effect we talked about with consumers changing their buying habits when prices go up. And it's not just looking at what consumers spend. Specifically, the Fed likes the core PCE, which strips out food and energy prices, which can be volatile.
Yes, indeed. Economic teachable moments are a specialty here. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you very much. The big hiring report for August, plus the household survey of unemployment, is due tomorrow, with implications for markets, investors, and all of our paychecks, really. Catch the half hour of Marketplace later today with my colleague Kai Ryssdal on many public radio stations, and on demand using these newfangled digital techniques I hear so much about. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.